Yeah, Parsha Shlach, we know, we have the story, this terribly tragic story of the Meraglim. The Meraglim go to Eretz Yisrael and they come back with the report about Eretz Yisrael. And after they finish the report, the first pasuk in Pasuk Gidal says as follows: Vatisa kol ha'ida, vayinu es kolam. They all begin to cry and to wail. And the entire nation cries on that night. The Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin and Daf Kuf Dalet says as follows: Bnei Yisrael, atem b'chisem b'chia shel chinam. You cried a cry for chinam, for nothing. V'ani ekva lachem b'chia ledoros, and I will make you have a reason to cry for generations. And we know that the night that Bnei Yisrael cry was Tisha B'Av, and the same night for generations to come, that Bnei Yisrael would suffer the tragedies of that night for generations to follow, literally, was also Tisha B'Av as well. And the Gemara says the following tremendous thing. The Gemara there says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, what exactly, why is it, if you look at the Megillas Eicha, you'll find that in the first parak it goes Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Eicha, Yashvav, Adad, Aleph Beis, and straight the entire way. And the rest of the Prakim and Eicha, there's two letters that are flipped around. The Pei and the Ayin. It goes Aleph Beis Gimel Dalei Vav Zayin all the way. And when it gets to Samech, instead of the next Pasuk starting with an Ayin, it starts with the Pei. And the Pasuk afterwards starts with an Ayin. The Gemara wants to know, why is it that when it comes to Megillas Eicha, we switch around the order? And says the Gemara, I'll tell you why. B'shvil Meraglim She'amru B'fiem, it's because of the Meraglim that said with their mouths that which they didn't see with their eyes. The word pei, the letter pei, is peh, is a mouth. The word ayin is ayin and eye. The Gemara says the Meraglim said with their peh that they didn't yet see with their eyes. And therefore the Gemara says that's why the order is flipped around, pei before ayin, even though it should be ayin and then pay. An obvious question on both sides that begs to be asked in this Gemara is the following. Every single thing the Meraglim said was true. They came into Eretz Yisrael and they reported they saw giants. And there really were giants there. And they said, it's Eretz Ocheles Yoshveh, it's a land that eats up its inhabitants, and it's also true. And the people that we saw there, Vagam Esa'am, they were Anshei Midos. It's true, there were giants there. So what do you mean that they said their peh before the ayin? That they spoke before their eyes saw? It's not true. Everything that they said is exactly how they saw it. What is the taina on the Meraglim? Rav Schwab has a beautiful sefer called Mayan Beis HaShoeva. And in it, he has the following brilliant insight to explain this kasha. Listen carefully. Says Rav Schwab, we know that a person, any person in the world, when they see something, they see it from their vantage point. They see it from their perspective. They see it from their kishkas, from what's going on inside of them. That's how we experience events in the world. Before I get to his medrash, Abosai, I don't think we have to look beyond what happened this past week, not too far away from here, on the ocean that the whole world is talking about the entire week. The flotilla. What happened? So I don't know, if you ask me what happened was, there were ships that were coming. There was that one ship that didn't want to listen to the rules that the Israelis had of the blockade and said, no, we're going through anyway. We're going to the waters that we're not allowed to go through anyway. We're bringing humanitarian aid. And they just said, no, you're not. And they said, yes, we are. And they started moving their ship in that direction. And Israel said, I'm not letting them bring arms into Gaza. And what happened? We know that a few soldiers were let down onto the ship, and there are videos. I didn't watch the videos. I'm sure people in this room did see the videos. But there are videos to prove exactly what happened. Whether it was beams or whatnot they were attacked with. And that's how we see it. They were lynched. And what happens to them? Unfortunately, they had to defend their lives. And they, unfortunately, people were killed. That's what happened, I think. At least in my perspective. We look around the world, and what does the world say what happened? Oh, what happened was, The Jews are fanatics, and the Israelis are violent, and they're killing innocent civilians. What's pshat? Well, we see it from our vantage point. We see, that's how we see it. We see it. We see the video proves it from our vantage point. And they see things, others see things the way they want to see things. Says Rav Schwab, before we get to back to the Meraglim, one other example of this. In the Torah, in Parshas Vayera, we know that the Akedah, so Avram's walking, who's he walking with? Yitzchak and who else? Yishmael and Eliezer. And they're walking, Bayom HaShlishi, Vayisa Avraham, Esteinav, he opens his eyes, Vayaris HaMokom Merachok, he sees the place. How does he know it's the place? Says the Medrash Rashi, quotes it, Ma'ra'a Ra'anan Kasher Bahar. He saw an Anan on the mountain. Omar, he said, this must be the place that Hashem says, I should bring my son. He turns to Yitzchak, Omar Li Yitzchak, I'm reading from the Medrash. Bini, my son, Roe At Masha Anirole, do you see what I see? Omar Lo, Yitzchak says back to his father, yeah, dad, Hain, yeah, I do. Omar Lishlein Arav, Atem Roe Masha Anirole, do you see what I see? Eliezer Yishmael, Omar Lo Lav, sorry, we don't see. Omar, so Avram turns to Yishmael and Eliezer and says, listen, hold the Chamorin Roe. A donkey can't see. Batem ain't roim, and you can't see either. Shmulachem poem achamor. You stay over here with the donkey. The donkey can't see. You can't see. You're not much better in this than the donkey. You stay here with the donkey. That's what the Medrash says. I don't think Avram was trying to insult his son Yishmael or his servant Eliezer, who he loved so much. What's pshat? Says Rav Schwab beautifully. Listen carefully. Avram and Yitzchak saw Haram Moriah with ruchni eyes. With spiritual eyes. But when they came and they saw with spiritual eyes, they saw from their vantage point the Anan, Kasha Ala Oel. Yishmael and Eliezer weren't looking with those eyes. They're looking from their vantage point. And they saw it very differently. They saw a mountain, a bunch of rocks, a big rock, very tall rock, a big mountain, Haram Moriah. That was the difference between the two. Says Rav Schwab, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, that was the problem with the Meraglim. They came looking at Eretz Yisrael with Gashmi eyes. They came and said, well, how are the people? How about the cities and the walls and the fortresses and the fruit? And they were looking at all the physical components of Eretz Yisrael. And it was all true. Physically, it was a very, very scary land to try to come and conquer. But had they come and looked with spiritual eyes, they would have come and seen, this is the land that Avraham Avinu trekked through. This is the land, this is Maris and Machpelah, where the Avos HaKadoshim are buried. They would see things totally differently. And the Tanya on the Meraglim says of Schwab is that they were a Dimu Pela Ayin. Instead of looking with their eyes the way they should have looked with their eyes, with a Ruchni way, they spoke before, they let their eyes work the way they were supposed to. With a beautiful Pshat in a Dimu Pela Ayin, that's of Schwab's Pshat. Rabosai. The Panovich Rav, you know, of Kahneman, who built the Yeshiva Panovich, came to Eretz Yisrael in 1940, in the heart of World War II. And he said, he walked up to Bnei Brak and said, that mountain, that's going to be a yeshiva. There's the dining room going to be, and there's going to be the dormitory, and there's going to be a semester for 500 people, at least that could sit and learn it. And everyone said, you're crazy. Rabbi, you're nuts. You're dreaming. The chief rabbi said to him, you're dreaming. And you're right. From physical eyes, from a physical vantage point, he was dreaming. It wasn't impossible. But when you look with different eyes, and you look from spiritual vantage point, you say to yourself, there's a churban going on in America, in Europe. There's a churban in America too. There's a chance for a rebirth of Torah Eretz Israel, and the yeshiva of Panovich is born. And that's how it was born. And Abosai, as we take leave of Eretz Israel for our year, so we have to focus on this point in a very, very real way. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Yivarechcha Hashem Tzion, God blesses you from Tzion. Urei Bituv Yerushalayim Kol Yimei Chayecha. The year is winding down, and probably we're reflecting about the year. How was the year? Did we accomplish? There were some negatives, there were some downers for sure. Maybe I didn't accomplish as much as I wanted to in every single area. But Rabosai, this parasha tells us to look with different eyes. It tells us Ure'e Betuv Yerushalayim. How do you look? Ure'e Betuv. You look at the good. You focus on the positive. You look from a spiritual vantage point. Abosai, I want to close in another minute. Before, I wanted to tell you a little bit about my grandmother. She should have a refuah shleima. My grandmother, my father's mother, her name is Edel Rivka Basara. She's been in and out of the hospital for the past couple of months. She's kind of 93 years old. She's a tremendously special woman. Her husband passed away 8 months before I was born. She's been an unfortunate almana for the past 30, whatever, for 30, beyond 30 years. Not the easiest deck of cards was dealt to her in life. She didn't drive before her husband passed away. She had to independently learn how to drive afterwards. Her husband wouldn't let her drive because he was so machmir on her covered. He wanted to take her around everywhere. That's how the legend goes in the family anyway. So once he passed away, she had to learn how to drive. She wasn't exactly dealt the easiest peck in life. For sure we would say that. If I would tell you that I don't ever in my life, and I've known her all of my life, Baruch Hashem, ever remember hearing my grandmother complain. In the hospital, out of the hospital. How are you feeling? Baruch Hashem. How are you doing? Baruch Hashem. When I call her, I sometimes call her when I want to boost. I say, Bubby, how are you doing? It's Andy, how's everything? She says, great. Baruch Hashem. And every conversation she ends off, thank you so much for calling. It's so good to speak to you. Please send my love to the wife and kids. Blian Har, she's a great grandmother. Soon, hopefully, Halavai to be a great, great grandmother soon. Mitzvah Hashem. Challenging, out of the hospital, she had a stroke, she's had physical ailments, many of them, and not a word of complaint. And Abosai, if a person goes through life with that kind of positive attitude, it's a whole different life. Life has its troubles and has its challenges, but life is, thank God, wonderful. And as the good old expression goes, the cup is always going to be either half empty or half full. And the people that live life, b'simcha, live life realizing, wow, Baruch Hashem, the cup is half full. I'm not in the drought. It's not that I have no water. I have a cup of water. I'm going to close the following statement of Rav Palm. Rav Palm Zatzal used to say, I saw this quote in one of the Sfarim. He said, people search for a city of happiness. But they don't realize sometimes that really happiness is found in a state of mind. Abosai, if we internalize that message and we look at the world with holy eyes, with optimistic eyes, Bez Hashem will be zocha also to be people that are experienced. Have a good Shabbos, Abosai.